or someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. All of us will read. Let's go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Today we're sharing on success and the covenant. Success and the covenant. So back to Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We discussed the book. We said the God of the Bible is a God of the book and of books. That the God of the Bible values information. In fact, it will not be incorrect for you to say that he is information personified. Because John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you will succeed God's way, you must value information. Information is the key to transformation in God's system. Then we moved on to the law, that the God of the Bible is a God of principles. Principles make results predictable. They have inherent power. You satisfy their conditions. They help you to achieve your goals. And they have no respect for persons. Phenomenal. When you build your life on principles, therefore, especially God's principles, then your success is predictable. Then we spoke about your mouth and your success. That practically, your vocabulary always reflects your status. And you can change your status by changing what you say and how you say it. Because there's creative power in words. Then we moved on to meditation. And explained that God has designed for us to interact with the spiritual world through the realm of thought. And we can capture ideas, get divine direction when we act on them. Because they come from God, the power of God backs them up and turns them into reality in our lives. And then we spoke about action. Principle-centered action. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So we spoke about the need for us to have courage. Because what God has designed for you was not designed for your size. It was designed for God's size. And it will always involve an element of risk from your part to obey God. But you can't obey God and fail. You can't do the word and fail. So we encourage us to develop courage. And courage is taking action in the presence of fear or danger. Anyway, today we want to examine why God says that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Genesis chapter 15 is where we draw our illustration from. Abraham found himself in a situation in Genesis 15, a situation in which I found myself several years ago, a situation that many of us can identify with. Let's read Genesis 15 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 15 from verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield your exceedingly great reward. I like that. You see, the implication of this, you ask God for a house. God says, I give you myself. I think that's a better deal. Because when you get God, you get everything. So, verse 2. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? That was his chief servant. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he, God, brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That's not the end of the story, but that's a significant first step. That Abraham is saying, so Lord, how will I know you're going to do what you said you're going to do? And God says, come out of your tent. Abraham is in his tent, brooding over the reality of the fact that he's not been able to produce a child. His wife has not been able to produce a child. And he's brooding over the barrenness, the lack of capacity. And God says, Abraham, come out. Look up. Count the stars. As many as those stars are, so will your descendants be. What's God trying to do there? Change his vision. Expand his vision. Because our deprivation always tends to limit our imagination. He can't get one. So all he's thinking is, how will even God be able to help me to get just one child? Just one. Now I've lost the physical capacity. My wife has lost the physical capacity. How can we get just one? So when God says, come out, what is God saying to Abraham? Abraham, don't limit me. One to you is a big deal. I'm bigger than that. Count the stars. What I have in mind is millions or a millions. So the truth is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Even God can't help you beyond the quality of your thoughts. So when God wants to change your life, the first thing he will do is to change your thinking. Change your imagination. Give you a bigger dream. Amen. That was what God did to Abraham. You're thinking of just one, I'll give you a whole nation. I'll give you millions. So there's someone here. I know if you found it really, really difficult to raise, let's say, 200,000 naira or $1,000. And it's really, really difficult. If someone showed up and said, you know what, I want to give you money. Ask me for any amount you want. I'll give it to you. How much will you ask for? You've been trying to raise money. You can't even figure out in your life where to get 200,000 naira or $1,000 from. Somebody says, ask for money. How much will you ask for? For many people, it will be 1 million naira. Several times the amount that I cannot raise now. And if you did that, like God was doing in this equation, can you imagine if you asked for 1 million, the person gave you 1 million naira and said, you know what? If you had asked for 1 billion, I would have given you. That's what God is doing here. There are many of us that are presently frustrating God's power because our visions are too small. Our goals are too small. If God is going to be able to do in your life this year what he has in mind to do, your imagination will have to be flexible. Your imagination will have to be a place where miracles can happen. Help me to tell the person sitting next to you, dream big. Abraham, not one, millions. So let me move on from there. Verse 7. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of all of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Verse 8 reflects the puzzle that we need to address. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? That was the question on my mind. That was the puzzle many years ago. How? I wanted some assurance. I wanted some certainty. Life was too fluid, too unpredictable. I needed some certainty. Lord, how will I know? Same thing for Abraham here. How will I be sure? Verse 9. So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Verse 12 says, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. 13. Then he, that is God, said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. 17. And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying to your descendants, I have given this land. And then describes the geographical configuration. How will I know that I will get a child? How will I know? How will I be sure that your promises to me will be fulfilled? God says, Abraham, get some animals. Cut them in twos. And put them against each other. Abraham understood what God was saying. Because God wanted to use human language to speak to Abraham in an unmistakable way. So that Abraham would be sure this deal can never fail. In those days, they would cut blood covenants. Two people would cut a blood covenant. A covenant is a contract. A blood covenant is the highest form of contract or agreement. When two people cut a covenant like that, that was what they did. They cut animals in twos, placed them facing each other, and the two cutting the covenant would walk through the middle, indicating that the animals had died in their stead. The animals represented them. So when you pass through the middle, you're saying, the old me is dead. The two of us are now one. Our identities have changed. Our lives are now fused together. Because when you cut a blood covenant, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You are cutting a covenant with your life. And usually in those days, it would be a very weak party, either individual or community, that would enter into a covenant with a stronger one in order to enjoy protection. Because when our lives have become one, our possessions have become one. Our strength is now one. Whatever belongs to you belongs to me if I ever need it. Whatever threatens my life threatens yours. Whatever you will do to protect yourself, you must do to protect me. That was the essence of the covenants. So when Abraham was asking God, how will I be sure? God said, let me speak human language to you that you will understand. Take two animals. Take those animals, slice them in half. Abraham did it. And obviously, he had gone through and was waiting for God. Some birds came, wanted to eat the flesh. Abraham drove them away. It was evening when God showed up. In the burning oven. A smoking oven, a burning torch. And God, the creator of the universe, also passed through the middle of those animals. Abraham understood the implication. And hear what God said. The Bible says there, verse 18, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. So Abraham and God became one. So the first implication, change of status. You and God cannot be weak. You and God combined cannot be broke. Am I right? Whatever cannot stop God cannot stop you anymore. For anybody to defeat you, the person will have to defeat God first. So you have become unconquerable. That's the implication. And God told Abraham that day, your descendants will go to a foreign country. They will become enslaved there. They'll be there 400 years. This is powerful. That when you and God have become one, then God shares his wisdom with you. To the extent that God is discussing what will happen 500 years later with a man. There's someone here. Your journey with confusion is finished. Free flow of revelation. Your life will not be directed by what is written on newspapers. You will have your own news delivered from heaven. When the Lord is your shepherd, you won't lack. And he leads you beside still waters. The days of anxiety are over. So Abraham's status changes from that point onwards. And God is defining what will happen in the future with certainty. When you get to Genesis 17, God tells Abraham, in fact, I want you to circumcise yourself so that your own blood now will be involved. And circumcise every male in your family, and everyone who is your descendant from now will be circumcised. God told him to do that on the eighth day. The eighth day was when you named the child. So you observe something therefore about Abraham from that point onwards, that when they name a child, a descendant of Abraham, God's name is put inside the name. Because the child and God are one. So you have names like Jehoshua. Jehovah is my salvation. Elisha, God is my salvation. I like Elijah. That one is double dose. The El is God's name. The Jah is God's name. God is my Jehovah. When you call someone who is one with God, and whose name has God's name in there, two people will respond to you. One visible, the other one invisible. Be careful. There are names you don't mention in the herbalist house or at a witch's meeting. What they will see there, they won't like it. There is power in being one with God. Fast forward, hundreds of years later, what God said has come to pass. Abraham's descendants are in Egypt. God wants to get them out now. But they've been building Egypt's economy for free. Pharaoh doesn't want them to go. Moses pronounces 9 plagues on the country, literally wrecks the economy. Pharaoh won't let them go. Too sweet, cheap labor. So in Exodus 11, God says to Moses, there's only one more thing. When you do it, he said, Pharaoh and all the Egyptians will push you out by themselves. Tell each of the family of the Israelites to kill a lamb and to put the blood on the doorpost. He said, I will pass through the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment on the gods of Egypt. No devil will be able to stop this one. They will push you out. So the night that they did it, that night they reactivated the covenant that Abraham had with God. They became one with God. And you and God cannot be enslaved. Slavery was terminated that day. Somebody's status is changing here now. Sometimes God has done it spiritually. We don't understand what God did. Slavery terminated. Then Moses told them, march up to your former bosses and ask them for anything you want. Listen, when someone is one with God, you cannot successfully cheat the person permanently. You will pay back. All the cheap labor they did, payday came. When their status as slaves ended, they walked up to the Egyptians, asked for gold, asked for silver. They got everything back and marched out triumphantly. Pharaoh ran after them. His army drowned in the sea. They were unconquerable. God showed up on their behalf and made a difference between them and the Egyptians. It is better to be one with God. That's the guarantee for success. And being one with God, that guarantee comes by cutting the covenant with God. Fast forward. What happened there in Egypt? The Passover, they called it. They will be celebrating the Passover many years later. And Christ is sacrificed. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And now Christ, our Passover. Say, for Christ, our Passover has been sacrificed for us. So no need to kill animals anymore. The blood of Christ was sacrificed. The Old Testament, covenant ended. The New Testament or covenant started. And that's the one we have. The better one. Built not on the blood of animals, but on the blood of the sinless Son of God. And Jesus said, you take the communion as often as you remember what I have done on your behalf. Activate the covenant. The bread is my body. The wine is my blood. So today as we take the communion, I want to remind you, you won't find a better guarantee of your life turning out right, of you fulfilling your destiny, than you cutting a covenant with God and being one with God. It makes you indestructible. Makes it impossible for poverty to hold down your destiny. Generational curses can't hold you down. So today we're going to take the communion. And I want to encourage someone. If you don't have a relationship with God, you're not in this covenant. Today is the day to do it. That's one thing I will never regret. It makes me fearless. I'm not worried about what I will eat next year. That's why I don't need to steal anybody's money now. In the driest desert, you will flourish. Yeah. Famine struck in the days of Abraham. God told him where to go. He went there. By the time he came out, they said he came out with silver and gold, that he was very rich. When the economy is going down, that's when your own will be coming up. Because now your destiny is not tied to any natural economy. It's tied to God's economy. You and God can't be broke together. You need to remind yourself of that throughout this year. So, but the landlord is asking for rent. What should I tell the landlord? There are landlords and there are landlords. There's a physical landlord. There's a real landlord. Tell the real landlord what the human landlord said. Because you are one with him, the deadline is no longer your deadline, it is his deadline. Pass the deadline to him. That's why he taught me, deadlines don't bother me anymore. I was getting worried one day and he said, excuse me, pass the deadline to me. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Pass the deadline to me. He said, when the deadline gets to me, it will come alive. I will turn it into a lifeline. Things don't die around me. Pass the deadline to me. I pray for the person present in this service today or the one watching on the internet who says, Pastor Stan, my relationship with God is not okay. I want God to forgive me. I believe now Jesus died for me on the cross. Sin is the world's greatest problem. It's not what you think, not what you hear in the news. Sin is man's greatest problem. And God solved that problem when he sent his son to die on the cross. If you are that honest person who says, Pastor Stan, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? It's not something to be ashamed about. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was born a sinner. But one day you hear the truth like this, you just make up your mind. Success for you is no longer a matter of chances, it's a matter of choices. Just make up your mind. There's someone here, you're in a cult. And I want to tell you, you entered into a covenant there. It's the same thing, but it is satanic power you subscribe to. The only thing you find there is debt. Get the real thing from Christ. So if you're that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart? Pastor Simon, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Perhaps you've been a Christian before, but God forbid, you die now, you appear before God, you are not absolutely sure you will make heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you please also put your hand on your heart? And God bless you for your honesty. What a way to start the year. If your hand is on your heart, you're right here in this auditorium, or you're in the overflow, can you please stand by your chair? Or the Spirit of God is touching you, tugging at your heart, just respond to God. It's a powerful way to start your year. As you stand, heaven stands to attention on your behalf. What you're about to do, Jesus said, there's joy in heaven among the angels when it happens, when only one person says this prayer, not to talk of so many people at the same time. This is powerful. If you're watching on the internet, you want to be a part of the prayer, please also put your hand on your heart as we pray, and God bless you. If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing me. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters who are standing. This, Heavenly Father, we know is a special moment in their lives. And we know that you've heard their prayers. Thank you, Lord. We know the nature of sin is removed from them now and your nature is in them. Teach them to know you. Teach them to love you. Teach them to serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please. Heavenly Father, we thank you. As we share the body of the Lord Jesus, as ones who have received forgiveness from God, thank you. Because the power that raised Christ from death touches each one's life and flows through our lives. The power of sin and the power of Satan has been destroyed from our lives. And all the consequences of sin are removed from our lives. Lord, every curse is destroyed. The power of blessing comes. So, Lord, the power that raised Christ from death engages our physical bodies. And someone receives healing now. Amen. Someone receives restoration now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the blood that Jesus shed. We declare today it was not shed in vain. Our sins are washed away. Shame is finished. Anxiety is finished. Fear is gone. Now that our slates are clean, we have boldness to stand before God, to stand before Satan, to stand before man, fearless. And Heavenly Father, we thank you. All your promises are fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I stand by the authority of Jesus the Christ. And I make declarations on your people. I declare a change of status. Each one, according to God's design, walks in dominion. The days of being victims of other human beings are over. The days of being victims of Satan, those days are finished. Amen. Each one walks in victory. Amen. Casts out devils. Amen. Paralyzes demonic activities. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I declare each one has gone beyond being cursed. Amen. Each one, because of the blood of the covenant, the blood of the Passover lamb, every form of evil that sees each one will pass over. Amen. Death will see each one and be powerless. Amen. I prophesy right now, And I declare the power that raised Christ from death sustains each one's health. Every disease-carrying body that tampers with each one's body will die on contact. I prophesy now, organs of the body, bones, tissues of the body, cells of the body, hear my voice under God. Be corrected. Amen. Be healed. Amen. Be restored. Amen. Every growth that is not from God is destroyed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, you said heaven has released prophetic children on us in this church this year. Everyone trusting God for a child. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of God. Knowing we are one with God. Nothing, no medical condition, nothing can stop God. Abraham and Sarah, well past the age of having children, no physical capacity. Heavenly Father, when they became one with you, their bodies produced that child. God of heaven, today marks the end of lack of fruitfulness. Amen. Each one receives power to conceive. Amen. Prophetic babies. If they say there is no womb, a womb will show up. Amen. All impossibilities are destroyed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So Lord, each one walks in power. Amen. Walks in miracles. Amen. Outstanding testimonies this year. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Say a powerful amen.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.